read out of John chapter 20. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to John chapter 20. It's a good passage. Some might say it's iconic. John chapter 20. Say, got it if you got it. If you don't got it, no worries. Big screen Bible coming at you. John chapter 20. Here we go. Early on Sunday morning, it's a lot like this. It's kind of like us. While it was still dark, not like us. How many people feel like we need to have a sunrise service in here? That's why we don't do it. That's why we don't do it. There'd be 10 people there, just holding hands by the river. In the river. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found out that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran, she found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, aka the author of this passage. And she said, "They've taken the Lord's body out of the tomb and we don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. There it is again. He stooped and he looked in and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. I know that there's some of you here in this morning, and your spiritual life, your life in God, probably looks like this. You get there, you'll look in, you check it out, but I want to tell you, man, God's goodness, God's presence, God's power is made known. We don't just look in, but you step in. I'm actually believing that at the end of this service, we're going to see so many people who step in, who step out of death and step into life, who step out of shame and step into forgiveness, who step out of the old dead ways and step into the new life of promise and fulfillment that only Jesus can offer. Simon Peter arrived and he went inside. He noticed the linen wrappings were lying there, and while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up, it was lying apart from the other wrappings. And then the disciple who'd reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and he believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. Verse 11 says that Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped and she looked in. She saw two white-robed angels. Someone say two angels. One sitting at the head, the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "And dear woman, why are you crying?" the angel asked. "Because they've taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they've put him." She turned to leave and she saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. I actually know this to be true too. There's some of you that you've talked with God. You've prayed to God. You cried out to God. In the quiet and the stillness of the night, when it was just you, you cried out maybe to someone else and you didn't know it was God, but you were crying out to God. You didn't recognize him, but he was there. He was there. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you've put him. I'll go and I'll get him." "Mary," Jesus says. And it was at that moment when she turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus says, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." And she gave them his message. Can we pray? Come on, if you're comfortable, why don't you put your hands out like this, like my wife was going to softball pitch a bag of Peeps at you. You got to catch it. I really do love Peeps. Can we make sure that we steal someone's Peeps before we leave? Okay. I love this as a posture that says I'm wanting to receive. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. Thank you for your words of life that change, for your words of life that bring eternal blessing, eternal promise, eternal home. I pray, Lord, that by the end of the preaching of your word, we wouldn't walk out of here the same way we walked in. Probably look the same on the outside, but made eternally new on the inside. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Let salvation be upon your house today. It's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Before you grab your seat, just turn to someone you didn't come to church with and say, do you always look this good? Go ahead. Just say, do you always look this good? And then grab your seat. Do you always look this good? Don't our team look good? Our team looked like a bag of tropical Skittles this morning. Praise the Lord, didn't they? You know what I'm talking about? Just a bag of, I love Skittles. That's what our team looked like. How did y'all coordinate that, Trey? You're like, hey, pick a flavor. You're like, pick a flavor. I'm coming as grape. Praise the Lord. You know, we're talking about all the different things. And we have so many trappings that come with Easter. You know, there's beautiful flowers, and there's extra set design, and there's the egg. Oh, my gosh. My girls are so excited because when you're one of the church leaders' kids, you get to do two egg hunts on a Sunday, praise the Lord. So they're coming home with hundreds of eggs. And there's things that we got to do. You get here, you get cleaned up. You got photo booth. What are y'all doing for lunch? Anybody going to Golden Corral, right? You got Golden Corral. Have you had the honey butter? Come on, somebody. All right, just me and the salt of the earth people who go to Golden Corral. Praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am. I'll see you at Golden Corral 2 p.m. Praise God. And there's all kinds of things, and you got to get dressed, and you got to pull out your suit. My gosh, I can't remember the last time I wore this suit. Can't remember the last time I wore a tie. Pastor Kevin, he had to help me put my tie back on. Nah, not really. He just said it was wrong. Oh, Kevin, you do all these things and you get ready and it's exciting. And if you're not careful, though, you can be so wrapped up in Easter that you miss Easter. You can be so wrapped up with everything that comes with Easter that you could actually miss Easter, like the reason for the season, amen. And I'm looking at this passage, and I like to look back. I've looked back on years past, and I remember it's been a few years since I preached out of John chapter 20, but over the course of pastoring, I think 12 years now in Richmond, I've preached on this probably 3 or 4 times. But it's amazing what I love about the Word of God. It is living. It is active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides joint and marrow, soul and spirit, revealing the innermost thoughts and desires of mankind. And so every time you can get in your Word and actually get something fresh out of the Word of God. And the theme that we've been talking about this weekend has been prophecy foretold, promise fulfilled. This past weekend, Good Friday, we talked about the fulfillment of Jesus as our Lamb. We had a beautiful service. A one Jennifer Willis painted. I don't know if you've been seeing this theme of the painting. There's a painting of a lamb. Did you see that fast-track time lapse of the lion being made into the lion? So beautiful. And I put on a fresh pair of spectacles, biblical spectacles, to actually dive into the passage, and I have some things that I think are really going to bless us. I'm really excited about this word. I'm also losing my voice, so I'd love for you to help me preach this word. Can you do that? In our church, you're allowed to say amen, hallelujah, preach it, or that's good. And if you're uncomfortable with any of those options, you can simply say, if something's good, okay? Just turn neighbor, let's get a prayer. Turn neighbor and say, I don't know what that is. I want to talk about some fulfillment in the scriptures. We're going to dive right in. Number one, the two angels are fulfillment. The two angels are fulfillment. We see here in the beginning of this passage, the disciples are hanging out by the house. Mary stays at the tomb. And you read this scripture, you have to know this about the Bible. Everything that is in the Bible is there for a reason. There's no wasted word in your Bible. And so the Bible is deliberate by saying there are two angels there in the tomb. Genesis chapter 3, I'm going to take you back. Or someone say, way back. Yes. Oh, hey, oh my goodness. I'm going to take you back to the garden. Adam and Eve, they ate the fruit. What fruit was it? You're wrong. Big Apple's been fighting this bad PR for all of eternity. Apple in the garden. One bad apple spoils the bunch. Come on, somebody. They're making progress, though. Apple a day keeps the doctor away. They're making progress. Praise God. So they eat the fruit. And as a result of this act of disobedience to God, what happens? There's a shutting out of Adam and Eve from the garden. What you have to know about God is that God is love. Can I get an amen? And it says that God is love two times in the scripture. The Bible also says that God is holy. And it says that about God over 500 times. And so in this moment of the holiness of God, must be reckoned with, Adam and Eve are escorted out of the garden. Do you want to know by whom? Two angels. Two angels, the Bible says, escort Adam and Eve out of the garden. And so for the rest of the Old Testament, it is a journey story about us trying to get right with God again. Out of our own good merit, out of our own good works, out of our own personal good righteousness, trying to get ourselves back home. Can I tell you that the garden was supposed to be home? That the garden is where we belong. Walking in the presence of God, walking with God, talking with God. There was never supposed to be this divide. We were always supposed to be kicking it with the Lord. That gets me excited. And so we were escorted out of the garden because of our own sin and our disobedience. And it was two angels that escorted mankind out. Can I tell you on the Easter Sunday story, who is it that is there to begin the commencement of the welcoming of mankind back into the garden? It's two angels. Two angels that escorted us out. It's two angels that are welcoming us home. And I don't know what you are feeling like in this service on this day. Maybe you haven't been in church in a long time or never been before. But I want to let you know, maybe you feel uncomfortable, maybe you feel out of place. Can I tell you that's not the heart of God for you to feel? God wants you to feel at home amongst his people. God wants you to feel at home in his church. God wants you to feel at home in heaven one day. Can I get an amen? It's one thing when you walk in someone else's house. It's another thing when you walk in your own house. Can I get an amen? I kick off your shoes, relax your feet, just party on down. Just that's how I do in my house. Can I get an amen? Turn your neighbor and say, I'll kick off my shoes at your house. Go ahead. I don't even know what that means. The two angels are fulfillment. And that fulfillment is that our way home has been fulfilled. It's been restored. It's been renewed. Not only the two angels, but the positioning of the angels is fulfillment as well. The Bible says that one stood at the head, one stood at the feet. Come on, turn your neighbor and say, I love your feet. Yeah. Right, babe? She said, please stop talking about me. In the Old Testament, when a priest would go into the temple to make sacrifices, there was this box. It was an important box. Boxes are important. Can I get an amen? You put important things in the box, don't you? These shoes, I keep them in a box. Once a year, I break them out, keep them packed fresh. Can I get an amen? Important things in the box. And in this box, there's wood on the inside. Come on, saints. And there was gold on the outside. And on the top of the box, there would be an angel on one side of the box and an angel on the other side of the box. And the priest would dip his hands in the blood. And he would sprinkle the blood on the top in between the two angels. And do you know what that was called, that seat in the middle? It was called the mercy seat. And the priest believed that so long as he sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat, he could be counted as righteousness. Can I tell you about this tomb account? It's two angels. And there's one on one side, and there's another on the other. And in between them there is what was the remnants of the blood of the Lamb. It's the wrappings. What are we looking at? We're not just looking at a random scene. We are looking at the prophetic fulfillment in the New Testament of Christ as our mercy seat. He is our priest, and he's our mercy seat. I don't know how you came into this place. If you think that you deserve judgment, If you think that, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to wake up early. I'm going to get dressed to the nines. I am not going to argue with my wife on the way to church today. I'm going to not scream at my kids because I want to be on God's good side. Can I tell you something? You're already on God's good side. You are already on God's good side. He loved you before you loved him. He chose you before you chose him. He died for you before you could repent of your sins. God is our mercy. And on this Easter Sunday, we see the fulfillment of the tomb account that he's our mercy seat. Easter is our reminder that we can be welcomed back home. Because there is forgiveness, there's grace, and there's mercy for you today in Jesus. I don't know, man. This might be a message for the Bible nerds. But listen to this. There's fulfillment in the gardener. Yeah. Jesus, the gardener. Have you ever thought about this? Why? Why did she think he was the gardener? Like, why didn't she mistake him for a priest? Why didn't she mistake him for another follower? Why didn't she mistake him for a soldier? I mean, did you know that the Roman authorities had more belief that Jesus would arise from the dead than even his disciples? They put guards outside of that tomb because they heard. But she didn't mistake him for any of those things. Who did she mistake him for? She mistook him for a gardener. We're going to go back to the garden, Genesis chapter 3. God made Adam, and God said, I want you to work this. And where did he put him? God put Adam in the garden. And he said, I want you to work it. Why? Because it's worth it. I want you to take care. I want you to put the top down. Someone tries to mess, I want you to flip it. If they give you a Uno reverse card, I want you to reverse it, come on. Because it's worth it. Well, I don't know, man. God said, Adam, I want you to tend to this garden. He says, Adam, you're the gardener. You're the gardener. And Adam failed. He messed up. Bad gardener. Let some critters overrun the garden. Deceive. Jesus, you know, we call Jesus the second Adam. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. And just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. Where Adam was failure as the gardener, Christ came back. And he was considered, he was called, he was mistook for gardener, not wrongly, because actually Jesus is our good and perfect gardener. And he is going to make all things new in the garden that we call this new life in the new heavens and the new earth. And when we see that he's called the gardener, the fulfillment is that our eternal likeness is fulfilled. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49, just as we are now like the earthly man, we will someday be like the heavenly man. There's a prophetic identification in Christ as the gardener. Because we don't identify any longer with the failed gardener of Adam. We identify with the perfect gardener of Christ Jesus, who will tend, who will care, and he will supply our every need. Mary's witness, number 4. I only got 2 more points, 4 and 5. Mary's witness is fulfillment. Mary's witness is fulfillment. Who is the first woman, dang it, who is the first person to eat the fruit? I just gave you the cheat sheet. Who's the first person to eat the fruit? That's right, Eve. Who messed it up? Are y'all scared? Listen, We didn't ask you for your Twitter handle before you came in. No one's getting canceled today. Where is this church? Let's be real. Who messed it all up? Someone say, women messed it up. Turn to your spouse and say, women messed it up. Oh, all right, stay with me. Woman eats the fruit first. Where does sin enter first? In a woman's mouth. New Testament, John 20. Jesus finds a woman. Not James, not Peter, not John. Real quick, how would we classify someone as a Christian? Someone who believes in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. You know what's crazy? Technically, Mary Magdalene is the first Christian in history. She is the first to identify and believe and see that Jesus is resurrected. Who preaches the first sermon? It's not even Peter in Acts 3. What is a sermon? What is a proclamation of the gospel that he is alive? Who's the first preacher? I know I sound sad, but I'm excited. Who is the first preacher of the gospel? It's a woman. Where did sin enter? Through a woman's mouth. Where is the first gospel Easter message preached? Out of a woman's mouth. In a time where a woman's testimony is not even credible, God uses a woman first to proclaim he's risen. What is God doing? He's bringing fulfillment to everything that has failed in the past. What is fulfilled here in Mary's testimony? Our purpose is fulfilled. That we all are called to walk in purpose. We all are proclaimers of the gospel. Doesn't matter your past. Mary had a past. Come on, she had some scandal on her. She had some residue. She had a past, y'all. She had some gossip. And some of y'all think you can't live for God. Some of y'all think I can't tell people about Jesus. Why not? You got a past? She had a past. Pastor, you don't want me involved in this church. I mean, I'm carrying some stuff. Do you have a demon? How many? Mary had 7. How many demons are you walking around with right now? If it's less than 7, we can work with you. Turn to your neighbor and say, thank God for you. What do I say? What do I tell people? You tell people, I've seen the Lord. You tell people, he's changed me. You tell people, he's given me a calling. He's given me a purpose. I gave my life to Jesus at 19. I'm going to be real. I was an aimless young man. Okay? I was an aimless young man. Okay? I went wherever the wind blew. I went wherever my proclivities took me. But then Jesus, and he gave me a new life. But he doesn't just give you a new life. He gives you a purpose to your life. He gives you significance to your life. That as a believer, we come to understand that this vapor of a life carries eternal ramifications. And we get called to play a part in eternity. How awesome is that? And what I love about these last 2 points is that whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, what is a woman? The ramifications from Adam and from Eve. On both sides, their disobedience, the ramifications and the consequences, they are completely undone by what Jesus did at the resurrection. How cool is that? And my last point is very simple. Worship team, you can come on up. Mike, if I don't see more of this spackle come off this, I know you haven't been worshiping hard enough. There's fulfillment in calling Mary's name. There's fulfillment in calling Mary's name. We see that Mary didn't see who Jesus was until he called her name. We know in the Old Testament that God called us by name. Isaiah 43, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." And we see in John chapter 10, verse 3, Jesus says that the sheep recognize his voice and they come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. And after he's gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow because they know his voice. The fulfillment there is that God has never stopped calling you by name. You know what's so great about our God? He's God! So he doesn't just look at us as a gathering of randos. He sees us as his body and as his people, as one church. But do you know what? He sees you. He sees you. And it's not all about you. Don't get a big head. Turn your neighbor and say, "You got a big head." Don't do that. This is Easter. But he knows the number of hairs on your head, the Bible says. And he knows the number of hairs that used to be on your head, the Bible says. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. That's right. We got to cut our light budget. We just put bald people on the front row for the reflection. Just, what? Oh, look at all these beautiful bald men. Yeah. He knows you by name. He does. You know? I think sometimes we think, "Oh, you know, I'm just doing my own thing and walking my own life, and maybe I'll get to God one day, and maybe I'll..." Can I just listen? He knows you. He knows you. He sees you. And I want to be very clear with you. He calls you. I believe even now you have a sense of it, don't you? I believe even now you have a sense. He's calling you by name. He knows your name. He knows your nickname. He knows your government name. He calls you. And I believe one of the greatest fulfillments of this celebration around Easter is there's people's names that are going to be heard, whether for the first time or heard again. And you're going to come back home. Today's going to be that day.